This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Derek Bangs spent the last 4 years of his life surveying jazz music in movies and television shows with the themes of crime, spy, or action. And then he wrote a massive manuscript. He turned it into his publisher on March 23rd, right in the midst of the pandemic. So the rest of the story is our first uplift today. Derek's on the phone from Davis. Hi there. How are you?
Beth, good morning. It's always a pleasure.
So did the publisher say yes?
Oh, it's funny how things work out. Sometimes when you embrace a project, you have no idea how deep the pool is going to be until you reach the deep end. And I rather naively thought that a single book of roughly 125,000 words would take care of this topic. Boy, that was foolish. 3 years later, I had a rough draft that was 600,000 words long.
Wow. So tell me the name of your books, because they have now been published, and what you surveyed.
The titles are Crime and Spy Jazz on Screen. Volume 1 is 1950 through 1970. Volume 2 is since 1971 up to the present. And I was able to make it to the most recent revival of Shaft, which came out late last year. Basically, I initially wanted to do a book on the jazz in the TV series Peter Gunn back in 1958-61, but I discovered that that topic had been covered pretty well. So then I thought, okay, well, maybe the classic jazz from that time period that was affiliated with film and TV shows and spies and secret agents and crime. But where do you draw the line? So I figured, okay, let's do the deep dive and tackle the topic from when it started in roughly the mid-1950s, both on the large and small screen, and bring it all the way up to the present day. And that's why the rough draft wound up being 600,000 words long.
Wow. Let's see if we can go through four of your favorite themes, two from movies, two from TV shows. Let's start with a John Barry clip and just listen to a few seconds of this.
All righty.
Oh, isn't that fabulous? That goes back to 1965. Tell us about it, Derek.
That's The Ipcress File, Michael Caine's first major starring role, one of the two films, along with Alfie, that made him a superstar across the pond and also here. John Barry had been doing the music for the James Bond films, and Harry Saltzman, who was one of the co-producers of those early Connery films, wanted to start a new series with a more serious spy, more of a working-class secret agent, if you will, and that's how we wound up with The Ipcress File. And Barry's choice of instrument was unusual for the time. The melody is being carried by a cymbalom, which is the instrument making that very eerie, twangy sound on the melodic touch there, a theme that lasts in your brain.
Yeah, well, we're not going to be able to get through all four, but I do want to do a television show. This happened to be one that I loved as a kid. Let's listen to Mannix. Were you a Mannix fan? Do you remember when you could just like hum the theme song? It just cued you to a space in your mind?
That was the thing about those great themes in the 1960s. That's Lalo Schifrin, of course. And when you talk about Lalo Schifrin in the 60s, everybody usually thinks of Mission Impossible. But he did Mannix at roughly the same time. And I think it's a cooler theme because it's a jazz waltz. That's a 3/4 time melody. And Schifrin was the master of the title theme hook, as he put it back in the day. It's between commercials, you're in the kitchen getting something to drink,
yes,
and so this piece of music comes on, and we want you to bolt back into the living room because it's so exciting that you have to sit down and watch the show, and that was sure true of Mannix.
All right. So what are the stats on how many TV shows and movies you surveyed and how much music is in these two books?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I considered 486 films from 1950 to the present day, and I ultimately watched and wrote about 350 between the two volumes. And they each one earned anywhere from a couple of paragraphs to several pages of discussion. TV shows were tougher and more voluminous. I considered 750 from 1947 forward. Detective shows were actually some of the very early TV shows that were broadcast nationally. Anyway, 206 finally made the cut. So that's roughly 550 films and TV shows that I go into considerable depth here, because the point is to talk about the music as it's used within the film or the TV show, not merely that it's there, but does it help the action? Does it hinder the film? It's a deep dive.
So Derek Bang with Crime and Spy Jazz on Screen, Volumes 1 and 2. The books are published. People can find them now, Derek?
Oh, absolutely. McFarland Press. You can get them from your favorite bookstore ordering online, and Amazon and McFarland have them as well.
It's a great uplift during this time and a great gift for people who love films, TV, or jazz, or all three. So congratulations. Thanks so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Beth, for giving me the opportunity.
You bet. That's Derek Bang. Take care. And before we go, we have one more story. This is a remembrance and a legacy fund for Joel Revson. You might know that Joel is an award-winning conductor. He was on the staff of the Metropolitan Opera, known across the country and in Europe for the symphony and opera performances that he guided. So Maestro Revson was a conductor and artistic director of Classical Tahoe. This was a festival held in Incline Village. It began in 2012, and Maestro Revson died last Monday of complications of COVID-19. On the phone with us is Karen Craig, Executive Director of Classical Tahoe. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Beth.
Just speaking this news makes me so sad about this. I'm so sorry.
It chokes me up, too. You met him, and he adored you. Felt fondly coming down to Sacramento and talking with you on the phone every year when he came out to start Classical Tahoe. This area was his home, his heart, and we'll all be better for having known him. He was an incredible joy.
Can you share a bit of the story of his illness? Because I think he got caught up in the sweep of the virus when it went through the Met, through the Metropolitan Opera.
Yeah, Joel is an assistant conductor on staff at the Met. And at the very first week, before anything had closed, in fact, actually, Joel thinks he was at a party to celebrate one of the great American composers. And he sat next to somebody who was coughing. And this was maybe the mid-March, maybe the 15th of March, the week before everything was closing down. And he came home and he said, "Gee, I hope I don't get that darn COVID from going to that event." And sure enough, about the 27th of March, he started coming down with a fever and then had a battle in and out of fever, in and out of the hospital, and eventually the last month he spent at ICU in Sloan Kettering in New York City.
Do I understand right that he actually went through the plasma treatment and to some degree seemed to be in recovery?
He did, and he was so blessed. The staff at Sloan Kettering was amazing, and they were able to treat him. Joel did have some underlying illness that probably played a role in his not being able to recover the way other people might have been able to recover after a plasma treatment, but he sure gave it a valiant fight.
Classical Tahoe started in 2012 as Lake Tahoe Summerfest, and Maestro Revson talked with me in 2016 about the name change, the summer program, and we're going to play a clip here because I always loved his description of the Incline Village setting.
Well, it's pretty extraordinary. I mean, nestled in the pine trees within like a 3-minute walk to the lake. It's just so inspiring for all of our musicians. And we performed orchestra concerts on Friday and Saturday nights, two different programs. And then we did a repeat of the Friday night program last night down in Reno at the Hawkins Amphitheater.
And in fact, it is the debut of that venue added to this concert, isn't it?
Correct. It's our first time going down to Reno. The audience was extremely enthusiastic. We opened with Zoltan Kodály's Galanta Dances, followed by Mozart's Symphonia Concertante with Daniel Kolokoff and Anton Zhivayev.
And then he just goes into a tear in the world he knows best, because he tapped his friendships and his professional life for the remarkable talent that he brought to the Sierra. In his memory, and here's the uplift, you've established a legacy fund. Would you say something about it, Karen?
Yeah, so we've had an incredible outpouring from across the United States asking what people can do and to recognize everything that Joel provided here. The Joel Revson Legacy Fund is to continue and see that classical Tahoe survives and thrives into the future. The point of the fund is to enrich the cultural, educational, and community vitality of Lake Tahoe and the Northern Sierra. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing just to see the number of musicians who have worked with him over a dozen years contributing to that fund from all over the country, along with people from our community here in the Sierra.
Oh, I have to mention Chris Brubeck, because the maestro and Chris became good friends and collaborators, and what a convergence of jazz and classical music.
They were amazing. They performed the music of Dave Brubeck, Chris's dad, in Moscow together, and we were just about to debut this year that the Brubecks are bringing the Brubeck Jazz Summit, an international program for the most talented jazz high school students in the world, to come and spend a week learning jazz here at Lake Tahoe with us as part of Classical Tahoe.
Well, this would have been, I believe, the centennial year. So I have to imagine that somehow Dave Brubeck and Joel Revson are finding each other in heaven. Can I go with that?
Absolutely. They're taking five together.
Taking five together. So I do want to play one more clip. This is from that same chat with the maestro in 2016. It's very short, but it runs deep. I had asked what people should bring to a classical Tahoe concert.
I would say just bring your ears, your heart, your soul, and be prepared to be inspired.
How about that, Karen?
That's so Joel. What he's our North Star. And Beth, listeners to Insight might want to know is that we are continuing with a small but powerful chamber music festival this year, just bringing out 10 musicians playing in small backyards in Incline Village that will then be live streaming at the time and at the end of July and August, and then recording to tape for public television. We know that the arts is just part of getting through this time and reinforcing our shared humanity. We're dedicated to continuing it for Joel with passion and joy.
We will post a link so people can find that information. Karen, thank you so much. And there's information about the Joel Revson Legacy Fund as well. Peace to you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
So again, as Maestro Revson says, bring your ears, your heart, your soul, and prepare to be inspired. I think that's good advice to live by. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Beth Ruiak. Stay safe, take care, and we'll be back tomorrow.